Hello, this is The Golden Gang, a podcast that celebrates the individuals that are part of the Arbor Terrace Exton Senior Living. I'm Chuck Nichols. I'm the host of this podcast as well as the engagement director at Arbor Terrace Exton. What I have found out after many years of working in senior living and a lifetime in residential care is that there are some amazing individuals that come in and out of our community every day that do extraordinary work. We also have many, many residents that have wonderful life stories and experiences they love to share. These are the people that make our community rich and vibrant as they tell their stories. Hello and welcome to the Golden Gang. Our guest this time is Dottie Treat. Dottie is an original Rosie the Riveter. Worked in World War II in a factory, has a lot of stories to tell about that, as well as growing up on a farm. I suggest that you listen closely. At the very end, she gives the secret to her long life as well as shares her age with us. So please enjoy our conversation with Dottie. Hello, Dottie. How are you? And welcome to the Golden Gang.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I just want to tell you how much of an honor it is to have you here for us, given the work and the great contribution you have made to our nation's history and to our nation in full. Why don't we just start how people know you as one of the original, what?
Rosies.
Rosie.
How they knew me.
Rosie the Riveter, right?
Rosie the Riveter.
Yeah. So where did you work?
I worked in Pottstown, Pennsylvania at Doors. Doors is called Doors Dye and Casing Company.
Dye and Casing?
Casting.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Okay. And how did you get involved in that plant there?
Well, first of all, the radio was asking for, we need help. Mm-hmm. This is 1944.
Right.
And they still were asking, we need women workers. And back then, women didn't work.
Right.
And my husband, that he's a firm believer of them.
Mm-hmm.
So he finally gave it. I said, we were married, no children.
Right.
Not much to do, really, but keep the house clean.
Sure.
He finally gave in.
Mm-hmm.
And he let me go. Yeah. So I applied to Doors. I had friends that worked there. And then but I got hired, worked second shift, and he worked second shift. Now, he was a veteran in the war because he was running a big press that no one else could run in the plant.
Okay.
Now, he worked for Berger Steel.
And I'm sorry, who was that?
He worked for Berger Steel.
That was your husband?
My husband did
that.
Okay,
death. Yeah.
So, I carpooled to work. I had worked with the men. And I had a man that was the boss, and he was very good, and the men treated us women like women.
Yeah.
They did our crazy stuff up for us.
They were gentlemen.
They were gentlemen.
Well, that's good to know.
They were. We got along real good. They were real good.
So you had mentioned that this was really the first time that women got out working on their own full time, getting paychecks. How was those relationships with the other women that you had there?
At the plant?
Yeah, at the plant.
I became good friends of two of them.
Uh-huh.
And the one I traveled with, a carpool with, I traveled with one. The other one was a local girl.
Yeah.
Which to this day, I don't know if she's living or not.
Yeah.
But we became good friends, the three of us, yeah.
Okay, good. So what was it like opening that first paycheck that you got?
I don't know. I don't remember. I guess it felt good. Now, before I was married, I worked a little, so I got a paycheck before.
Mm-hmm.
But this is probably it's bigger and better probably than the other one was.
Yeah.
It was a good feeling. It was a good feeling to know that I was doing something for my country.
Yeah, for sure.
But they needed somebody to come in there and do the work.
Do the work. And it wasn't easy work either, was it?
Mine was.
Was it? Yeah.
My, the little parts that I was using, they were just little things. And the crates had like thousands of little pieces of them. And many times the bosses would lift them up for me. Now they worked out for heavy, but
yeah.
they would lift them up for me.
Oh, okay.
Great. So mine was easy. I just sat like this, and I put the parts in. And
right, and just press them.
That's all you did. You put the part in,
like an assembly line.
And then the air blew them out. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And some dolls were piecework.
Yeah.
Some of you, if you worked anywhere, some people know what piecework is. Others probably don't.
No, I don't think so. What is
Do
that?
Do you know what piecework is?
No.
When you work piecework? Well, you get paid by, you get a certain rate for the number of pieces you put out. So there was a couple times where I was on, I'm a fast worker. And my goal was to make more than my husband. Now, he was working overtime and all that.
Yeah.
But a couple of times I did that. My paycheck was bigger than his.
So you were the champion on the piecework, were you?
Me and my husband,
you and husband?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was just a fun thing.
Yeah. So let's step back a little bit. You had talked to me earlier about growing up on a farm with animals and... How many were in your family, brothers and sisters?
I grew up on a small dairy farm. Mm-hmm. And there were seven of us. And I was the oldest.
Okay.
Of seven. Mm-hmm. Now there was four girls when we were 2 years apart.
Okay.
Then it was 5 years. Then there was twins, a boy and a girl. Okay. Then it was five more years. Then my kid brother. So him, I didn't grow up with. I was just sort of out.
Okay.
When I got married, I was 18. But I lived on a dairy farm. And I was considered daddy's boy.
Oh.
Because there was no boys.
Right.
And I was an outdoor girl.
Were you?
I did. Yeah. So I did everything, anything outdoor. Mowed grass, shovel snow, milk cows, delivered milk. Could be a milk dairy.
And your family sold the milk too. You just actually kind of ran a dairy business, you were telling me, right?
My what?
You delivered the milk, bottled and everything?
Not only milked the cows.
Right.
I haven't milked the cows, but I also bottled the milk and delivered the milk.
Uh-huh.
8 cents a quart.
Eight cents a quart?
5 cents a pint.
It's a little bit more nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did that when I wasn't going to school.
And then you got on the truck and delivered it as well, right?
In a little town, Elverson.
Yeah.
Does anybody know where Elverson is?
Elverson, sure. Yeah, people know where Elverson is if you're around here. Yeah.
It's that far up the ocean.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's close by.
Nice area.
Yeah. Not too many farms out there now, though.
No, but where I live is the beginning of Conestoga Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know anything about Conestoga Valley, it's mostly Amish.
Okay, yeah.
So that's pretty well farmed.
That's good farm country out there still.
I hope they never change it.
Yeah.
And I hope they never make 23 foreign highway.
Right.
I don't think they will. Yeah. So I was raised in a very conservative area.
Uh-huh.
This high school that I went to, the directors and principal were Amish.
Oh, really? Okay.
So I was raised conservative.
Yeah, okay.
Amish ways.
So I think I heard you just say earlier that you married when you were 18. So you must have been right out of school, or?
I was 18.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. How'd you meet your husband?
Well, would you believe he only lived a mile away from me?
Oh, is that right?
I lived a mile off of Route 23.
Right.
Downhill and uphill.
Mm-hmm.
Up along the edge of the Wash Mountain. And he did there.
Okay.
Yeah, this happened, I guess.
This happened.
But he worked occasionally for my dad, but he needed extra help with the harvesting.
Okay.
So I don't know. He just happened to stop by when
I just got together. And how long were you married?
Oh, I always forget. From 41 to, I don't know, 80 years? 80. Yeah, about 80 years.
Really?
I don't.
That's a lifetime.
Yeah. So I was married 1941.
1941.
I graduated 1940.
Okay.
I was married 1941.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. So, and how long did you work at the plant there?
It was less than a year.
Less than a year, okay.
Because the war was on quite a while, mm-hmm. and they kept begging and begging. I thought the war will soon be over, and I will have to work. But I went anyway.
Yeah. What kind of memories do you have from that time? You know, people who were grown up, matured in that time frame, 1941 and 1945. Give us a taste of what was going on here on the home front, where you're working and you're hearing news reports and all those types.
Well, we had food rationing.
Okay.
Gas rationing.
Mm-hmm. So did the food ration affect you much since you had the farm? Did you still have the farm
at
there?
At that point, I was out of.
You're out of there.
I was out of there.
Yeah.
Really, I can remember that we had butchers that came to home delivery.
Okay.
I remember about certain meats you couldn't buy, certain cuts, but no, it didn't really.
Yeah.
And you know, sugar was another big one was rationed.
Was being rationed too.
But you had food rationing stamps.
Mm-hmm.
To use according to the number in your family.
Right. Yeah. I have.
People now think that was bad back then. But at the time, it really wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
You did things because this is the war, we're doing things because that's what we have to do.
That's the one thing that my mom and dad, I guess they were in their maybe early teens at the time. And that's the one thing that they said. Everybody just seemed to pull together.
There was no grumbling or just.
Yeah.
Everybody used to be a blackout, mm-hmm. and they were inconvenient sometimes. But you blacked out your windows and there were lights from it. You just did it.
You just did it, yeah.
And I this is a story I got to tell. I lived along Route 724,
mm-hmm.
which was the main street in Birdsboro,
yep.
to Potsdam. And during the war, like I said, we both worked second shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on Friday nights, we would hear a lot of noise. Here, the French sailors' ship was in Philadelphia being repaired.
Right.
And they were housed in a small area below us. Well, it was called Malacca, mm-hmm. a small place in boxcar below where I lived.
Okay.
About 2 miles down the road. Well, on Friday nights, they go to in the Birdsboro drinking after.
Drinking and dancing.
Yeah,
and
but they get down by midnight, make a lot of noise.
All the sailors in town, they go, kind of go crazy, huh? Some things never change.
Well, and then my husband, like I say, he only lived a mile from work.
Mm-hmm. So
he walked to and from work.
Okay.
And he was sort of hesitant as to walking home at night when they were in town.
Yeah.
He was taken on the street.
Yeah.
But then Martin, that I remember that so much.
Yeah.
Those guys.
Oh, that's cool. So I guess it was about, I'm trying to think when Rosie the Riveters came back into our story. There was a lot of time because, you know, you had your time where the war was over, you raised your families, but then all of a sudden we start hearing about Rosie the Riveters for you. How did that make you feel when you just started hearing that recognition come through?
Well, that, to me, Rosie came into my life in about 6 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
I had a male friend,
mm-hmm.
a veteran, and he goes to the Reading Airport, the big Mid-Atlantic air show.
Okay, yeah.
Has anybody ever been there?
I've been there, yeah.
You've been there?
Talking about the Reading Air Show. Yeah.
But he always went to that. So, of course, I really went along.
Yeah.
So they were in his reenactor's tent.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking one day. He said, well, you know, you should be part of this.
Yeah.
You worked during the war.
Mm-hmm.
So from then on, I knew about Rosie the River.
Yeah.
And one thing led to the other. And I started, well, about perhaps 2 years.
Yeah.
I started telling my story.
Oh.
So I've been about the last 5 years.
And all of a sudden you're. all of a sudden you're famous.
That's what they say. But yeah, it's all due to him. He said, at that point.
Didn't even think of it.
No, okay. We did our job and we just went to work and that was it.
Right.
No big hubaloo, no nothing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. No.
Yeah. That's amazing. So, I asked you when you came in if I could ask you this, because I said a gentleman never asks a lady how old she is, and a lady never tells. But I'm going to ask you to tell everybody here, how old are you?
102. 102. I am, best. Thank you.
So I'm getting a question here. What is your secret?
Well, farm life to me. How many are farmers here? Or did you have a farm?
Do we have any farm people?
Anybody?
Well, few and far between now. Yeah.
Well, to me, it's the only way to live.
Okay.
I guess it's the only way I knew how to live.
Yeah.
Living good and positive thinking.
Positive thinking?
On a farm, you had your own food.
Yeah.
My mother was a great canner.
Okay.
And they were in the freezing food.
Yeah.
So we always ate good.
Always food. Organic too, right?
And to this day,
yeah,
I eat mostly organic food.
Oh, do you?
Yes. Yeah. Very little processed food. I eat very little processed food.
Yeah.
Things are homemade. I still go from scratch. My son, my daughter,
mm-hmm.
they prefer food in excess. They'll make extra for me.
Right.
Or if they're asked somebody, they'll buy a homemade apple or something. Homemade apple dumpling or something like that.
Yeah.
No, I still, and you gotta be associated with good friends, good people,
mm-hmm.
positive people.
Right.
Everything is right.
So,
really,
tell us what you did to celebrate your 102nd birthday.
102nd birthday was last. This is past July.
Mm-hmm.
I took a helicopter ride.
Yeah.
Now, when I was 90, right. I took a hot air balloon ride.
A what? Hot air balloon?
When I was 90.
90 for 90?
I took a hot air balloon ride, and I loved them.
And then when did you ride in the biplane? Was that last year?
So this year was a helicopter.
Right.
Ride. And that, by the way, that was the best ride I've ever done. That was neat. My son was with me.
Uh-huh.
And my granddaughter. It was neat. I flew over the Conestoga Valley and over my homestead where I grew up.
Okay.
We flew over that and where I live today.
Mm-hmm.
So that made it really special.
Absolutely.
Because,
yeah.
You know, that was the idea.
Mm-hmm.
So then in 101, I took the biplane ride north out of a airport near Bethel. Bethel.
Okay.
And there again, my son was with me.
Yeah.
And that, I'll never get that plane ride.
And your son told me earlier that the pilot said.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. When the pilot, also the owner of the property, one of them said, "This is the first time that someone has flew that was older than the plane." I think the plane was a 1924.
And you were born
I was born in 1922.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Yeah.
But so it's fun.
Yeah.
When I was 100,
right.
That's when my family, we had the big party.
Of course.
We had the big party then at 200 furniture.
Uh huh.
And we had homemade ice cream and Live music.
Live music, okay. Very good. So I want to say thank you very much for coming here. You can see that everybody here is thrilled to see you. You got a packed house.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Once we're done here, right, here we go. Give your arm up, right? Once we're done here, we're going to go down to the bistro, and we got coffee and some cookies, and give everybody a chance to talk with Dottie, our very own Rosie the Riveter. Dottie, thank you so much.
My pleasure. My first time. My first time at a gathering like this.
First gathering like this, right?
But it's nice to meet, talk with older people.
Don't say talk with people your age, because we're not there yet.
Well, so, I consider myself one of you.
Yeah,
I really do.
Yeah, thank you so much, and we appreciate you being here. So let's go get some coffee and cookies, okay?
Sounds good.
All right.
Well, there you have it. Live 102 healthy years by eating organic food your entire life. Farm to table, friends. Anyway, after we were done recording, Dottie had sat down with our community and had some coffee and cookies and really captivated everybody. It was just so much fun having her with us. And I also want to thank her son, Tom, for bringing her to our community. So thank you, Tom, and thank you, Dottie.
The Arbor Company has over 40 senior living communities in 11 states along the East Coast and Midwest, offering lifestyles in independent living, assisted living, bridges, and memory care. If you or anyone you know is interested in finding an Arbor community near you, please visit our website at www.arborcompany.com. If you are in the Exton area and wish to visit our community, please call us at 484-249-2050 and ask for a tour.